something worthwhile to mention. I always emphasize that the changing religion is not easy. It's rather delicate. So therefore, those individuals, of course, the family background is a Christian, and particularly personal faith is there, then you see such people, usually I prefer not change their religion, better to keep their traditional religion. And of course, you see, time goes, if the individual really finds that some other new religion is more suitable or more effective, then of course, you see, it is individual right. But be very, very cautious. Otherwise, you see, without proper thinking, you see, they take new religion, then after some time, there is danger to confuse, some confusion in their mind. This is one thing. Then the second thing, that is more important. That's even after you change personal religion, that person's attitude towards previous religion is very, very careful, because as a human nature, in order to justify your change, your religion, you see, some tendency to criticize about the previous religion. That is very dangerous. Although that individual person finds the new religion is more effective, but at the same time, the millions of other human beings in the past and the present, even in the future, certainly get a benefit from that previous religion. So we must accept the value of these different religious traditions. From the Buddhist viewpoint, something like self-creation, like the whole universe, those sentient beings who are going to utilize that universe, now due to their karmic force or common karma, common action, then eventually that new universe taking place or taking shape.
Generally speaking, from Buddhist point of view, if we have any position on the question of creation, we would that could be described as idea of self-creation. For example, if we think about the evolution of the universal system, generally speaking, an evolution of a particular universal system has a direct relation to the karmic imprints of the sentient beings who are going to inhabit that universal system. And for instance, in the case of this planet, the evolution of this planet will have direct relation to the karmic imprints or karmic potentials of the human beings which will inhabit this planet. So just as in Buddhism there is this idea of samsara and nirvana, or perfected realm or unperfected realm, and both of these ultimately can be understood in terms of self-creation, because imperfect realms are also creations of the sentient beings, and perfected realms or perfection is also in some sense a result of a creation of sentient beings. Since in Buddhism, evolution or every event is explained in terms of cause and conditions, primarily based on the concept of consciousness or mind. Mind is seen as the primary agent, or in other words, the creator. And apart from mind or consciousness, no other autonomous external agent or being is posited in Buddhist thought.
I think firstly, quite often, the follower of different religions, they satisfy simply claim oneself as a follower of this religion or that religion. do not take much care about genuine internal as a change.
What happens is often people who claim to be subscribing to a particular religion, they leave their own natural sort of egocentric attitude and way of thinking totally intact, untouched by the beliefs. And on top of that, they use rather the religion as another factor which would serve as a basis of their identity, taking it as my religion. So it forms, using it as a basis of identity.
So anyway, is a religion, suppose religion, is it, they help the person. But this case seems as if the person is rather more kasubana. They surely a pa gudin sheshe shurushitwa.
Generally speaking, religion is supposed to be there in order for the person to be changed and helped internally. But what happens here is there's, because of this wrong attitude, often you get the impression that people give you the impression as if they are serving the religion, as if they are doing a favor to the religion.
The one's own aim and objective, or self-centered, is the thing. For that goal, religion also is used. So that creates, now, for example, a politician, dirty politician. Now, his or her main, aim is self-interest. I think very, very short-sighted. At narrow, interest. But then you see using religion. So that's the one factor. Then another case, that individual, I think, may be very, very sincere practitioner about that religion. But then, due to lack of communication with the other tradition, see the value of your own tradition. Then also, I think that every religion, they say that religion, that religion is something best. So from that, I think the view, or that factor, some kind of, I think they,
one problem is that although a follower of a particular religion may be sincerely following the religion, but because of a lack of contact with other religious traditions, the person is quite ignorant of the value of other traditions. And also because most of the religions have within themselves this idea that particular religion is the best. So there is a tendency to lead to some form of fundamentalism and some form of bigotry, that this is the only way and only path.
Among Tibetan Buddhist tradition also, of course, I think that generally, the through centuries, there are the spirit of non-sectarian is there. In spite of that, among within the same Buddhist tradition, still, this is my tradition, that is their tradition, that kind of demarcation gap also is there. So these, then under such circumstances, then there is danger to develop some kind of the fundamentalist attitude. So this I believe is for such situation, the wider communication with other religious institutions, not just on intellectual level, but rather I think the personal, which is relation, on the experiences, that makes the big change. Then here the factor is when religion involved. This is very much involved with emotion. So human emotion, one way. Of course, I think the prime mover, all human activities. But at the same time, that also, emotion
because of this fact that religion, in a way, involves emotion, which is, in a way, a prime mover of many of the human actions. It's the motivating factor. But there is also a danger there. Sometimes when emotions get to such a stage that it hardly leaves any room for reason and understanding.
How do you feel about children supporting a toy cart and not buying Chinese toys in support of Tibetan freedom.
Of course, that's very good, encouraging. Quite a number of years ago, you see, one time I saw one, you see, the news report, the one Swiss company which making toy, they stopped to produce those toy like the tank or small machine guns, things like that. So because of the non-violent influence, impact to Yonyagi, toy to tell, because of the produce machine.
I read a report of a toy manufacturing factory in Switzerland.
Sweden.
Which adopted a specific policy not to produce, manufacture toys which have violent or defense-oriented, military-oriented sort of implications like tanks or weapons.
Of course, you see, we can see easily. You see, I think there is somewhere a tendency. You see, among the I think whole society, because of violence, kind of that violence is due to changing
situation. As if violence is taken more or less for granted, as it's something normal and usual.
So of course, is one factor. No doubt. You see, the news medias and televisions. You see, they often. You see, show the negative side about, you see, human being and killing these things. So you see, children, you see, who saw every day, you see, these things, and also guns, you see, including myself when I was young. I think even still, I think the you see, these guns, you see, the rifles, you see, looks very smart. So you see, to many children, you see, these equipment seems something very attractive.
So one of the problems seem to be that on the one hand you have sort of enormous exposure to violent scenes on through television, other media and so forth, yet at the same time there is nothing, there is not enough scenes, non-violent scenes, which would be able to counterbalance that. So what happens is then this leaves a very strong conditioning on the children's mind on sort of tending towards more violent nature.
Then in generally the media, of course, I think negative event, some murder, some, you see, the big scandal or corruption, things like that, then you see people have more attraction. Then those, you see, the activities which motivated by human compassion, you see, these usually I think people take for granted. So it's not much, you see, these will not be a news. So as a result, I think the media representation about human activities, I think a little bit the imbalance. So that the people sometimes eventually get the impression the human nature is aggressive or something negative. So some cases, I think, through that way, discouraged or demoralized. Appeal or suggested to the media's people that you have very important responsibility or role in that respect. So you see, the presentation should be more balanced way. You see, so that millions of readers, you see, also, you see, get the some kind of audience, you see, also, you see, get some kind of hope. Of course, there are a lot of negative, there's a lot of things there, a lot of destructive actions always happen. At the same time, there are also the equally sort of, you see, there are a lot of good things there. Too much is dependent on one's own choice or one's own determination. If you make effort, it's in basic human nature, there is the great hope.
What is the right mindset to view Tibetan art?
Oh, that depends, you see, the person, individual person. Of course, if individual person is a Buddhist, and then just you see seeing a painting of Buddha or some other. I think mainly Buddha, not those complicated picture, but the Shakyamuni Buddha, You see, this seeing itself, you see, the bhaksha shadyachi.
For a Buddhist, by sort of seeing an image of the Buddha, Shakyamuni itself is believed to leave a strong imprint, positive imprint on the mind. From Buddhist point of view, irrespective of whether the viewer is a Buddhist, practicing Buddhist or not, there is this idea that whoever views and whoever sees the image will leave certain imprints within the mind. But from the point of view of someone who has no particular faith, then in a way that object becomes mere, you know, object of interest of art.
Now the problem is those who see the deities, very wrathful deities, or is it deity with, or say, consort, all these things, you see, now here, you see, there is danger. Unless you know the background of philosophy, the system, whole system, and the particular purpose of these different form of deities, then, you see, there is danger to confuse. That's why, you see, traditionally, particularly in India, you see, these paintings, images, you see, usually, you see, kept a very secret way. These, you see, the paintings available, make available only to those people who really have the background kasoda, understanding. But in Tibetan case, these become something tapet kasode, public chadaro.
They have become very accessible to the public.
How do you respond in the face of violence? How do you present hope, or what is the response to that?
The proper way for solving human issue, or issue between human, you see, the human communities, the non-violence is the proper thing. That's no doubt. That's my fundamental belief. And then particularly in our case, whether we like it or not, we have to stay side by side as a neighbor, Tibetan and China. So therefore, in order to have in long future, you see, they live harmoniously, friendly, in the spirit of good neighborhood, you see, the non-violence is very essential. Already, you see, because our basic, you see, the position, they believe in the non-violence, it is growing number among Chinese. Now, you see, they're showing their deep sympathy and genuine concern about Tibet. And some individual Chinese actually express their deep appreciation about our basic stand. Tibetan issue is a must find solution between Tibetan Chinese. In the last 14 years, you see, we made every effort, and obviously, you see, two proposals made in public, and behind the scene, you see, we made every effort, but no progress. The Chinese government side, they seems, say, one way, or say, they showing to the outside world they are very, or say, they eager to have negotiation with Dalai Lama, with open door. Already, see, the many area, including those bigger cities or towns, now already is the majority of the population are Chinese. So it compel, is it to create or to, sorry, it creates, you see, new, or say, the atmosphere, eventually, you see, transformed just like a true Chinese cities. So therefore, they intentionally or unintentionally, some kind of culture genocide is, you see, moving. So this is very, very serious matter. Still, my own position is, without any precondition, you see, the negotiation with Chinese government, that's you see, my stand, no change. The meanwhile, last 14 years experience now clearly, you see, they demonstrated that unless a world community, you see, they make pressure on China, that our own effort will not produce satisfactory result. So that's why we appeal the many parliament, many individual, many organization and government. So the last few years, the support for Tibetan issue. This is mainly, I said, the of course human rights issue, and also the preservation of Tibetan identity, Tibetan culture, and for these the direct negotiation between Chinese and Dalai Lama, the many government is publicly supported or showing their concern. So this is helpful. So still, you see, we need more active support. Of course, at this moment, you see, the very rigid authoritarian system, that kind of regime. I think in reality, the present Chinese government no longer as a Chinese people's government. In 1989, now the people, or people of the Chinese capital, Beijing, I think almost entire population against dictatorial sort of system or this rule. So suppose people in the capital, closest to the government,
generally speaking, you know, if the regime enjoys the mandate of the people, one would expect the citizens of the capital to at least have a sort of a feeling of affinity towards the regime.
And of May and June 1989, this is made very clear. What is important is people of China. So if we indulge more in violence, then even the people's level, they may feel some kind of negative antagonism. So you see, this is one has a basic reason. You see, in spite the failure or the difficulties, I always believe the best way, effective way for long run, is through non-violence. Seeing these reasons, this is the purpose, then patience can be sustained. In the meantime, the society or the atmosphere, create some kind of tension, right? Chazanga pena chilo ne pena ngamda da tension di ya shukshabu sha. Chik ta dinde chik ne su gwaali ya chik pena mi chik deeper value ki chik khodar di sha ne sha yundu any kien zom de gwaro.
So in a way, what we are seeing now is a sort of fruits of many decades of our negligence of basic human values, and also that coupled with the rise of tension and fear and sense of insecurity in our modern existence as life become more complex. So these various factors that give rise to tension and fear and so forth increases. So the combination of these two factors has created a more sort of violent.
Then also, I think the family life, that also one very important factor for raising the new generation in more balanced way or more proper way. That is a more healthy way. That is the only hope. So each individual human being have the greater role in that respect. So of course, I think that today is our problem. Not, I think, just because of something certainly happened. I think it's due to many decades, I think, our negligence on deeper human value. I think the future, I think we can succeed our patients.
Oh. Despite every effort by His Holiness, the future of Tibet remains uncertain. The plight of the Tibetan people in their 40-year struggle for freedom has touched the hearts and conscience of the international community. Find out what you can do to express your concern by calling us at 619-792-5195 or contact the International Campaign for Tibet on the World Wide Web at www.savetibet.org.